Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're going to go to Saints, former Saints running back Pierre Thomas. Pierre, thanks for the time, and how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Definitely.
Hey, Pierre.
How's everything?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, Pierre, is there a category of that there should be in the Hall of Fame for a running back who knows how to run a screen? I mean, who's actually the poster child for the screenplay? Is there a category for that? You know, you might not make the All-Decade team, but how about in NFL history? Look at this running back, the best screen runner.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing. I don't know. Only person that might be there with me is Matt Forte. He's another good screen runner that I know. But I don't know. We'll let the fans decide that one.
Pierre, as we're in this lockdown here with COVID-19, everything's good with your family, your extended family, your immediate family, and what are you doing to kind of occupy your time, man?
The family is good. You know, they're doing what they have to do to survive, getting out once in a while, making sure they're protected. I'll check in on them once in a while. You know, just keep myself distant because I know a few of my family members have some already had previous illness before this virus. So I don't want to take any chances because who knows? They say with these symptoms, you might have it, but you don't know you're a carrier, so you don't want to spread it out to anyone else. So I'm doing my job of making sure I stay my distance away from my family because I want to make sure I protect them and, you know, other friends and just anyone else out here in this world. But I'm fine. I mean, if you really want to know, this quarantine thing is kind of what I've been – is like retirement for me, what I've been doing for the last couple of years now. I use this time, it's a terrible situation that we're going through this. I mean, scary. The world and a lot of people is not used to this, but I take this time to talk to a lot of people and tell them, like, look, this is a time to figure out who you are as a person. You have so much time on your hands. If you're not working, that is very unfortunate because I know a lot of people who are not working and need to find ways to make money, but this is also another way for them to see what other hobbies or what other skills they have within themselves. And that's what I've been working on. I mean, I don't know if you guys know about my Instagram. I've been showing a lot of people things that I've been building since my retirement. I've been just working on myself, seeing what other skill sets that I have and what I can do to make a profit or revenue within this world, and also just build my skill sets, see who I am as a person, see if I'm a builder, see if I'm a creator, a craftsman, a artist. These are things that I'm working on for myself just personally, and I try to spread this same knowledge to anybody else. Also, I'm writing a book, so it gives me time to write. So I'm doing real good. I'm keeping myself busy. I'm doing other things. I'm working on my house, fixing electricity, trying not to electrocute myself, fixing plumbing, doing so much. So I'm really enjoying myself and having a good time. And today is a celebration right now because it's my dog's 10-year-old birthday today, so Smokey and I is gonna I'm gonna put out the candles for him, and hopefully he can blow out the candles and make a wish. But I'm just relaxing. How about you guys? How you guys doing?
Well, we're just doing the radio from our homes. We can't be in the studio, so we're trying to talk about sports and from a historical standpoint because there's no games. And we're talking about with the great players like yourself and your contribution with the Saints. And And I wanted to bring that up, Pierre. Just talk to the fans about how all of a sudden you coming out of University of Illinois and you're a free agent, and the Saints drafted a running back, Pittman, out of Ohio State, and you're going to one of the toughest training camps at Millsaps in Jackson, Mississippi. Just talk about that process and the competition, and the cream rises to the top. And one thing I know Sean Payton has always said, it doesn't matter if you're drafted or you're a free agent, you're going to get a great shot and a great opportunity to make the team, because they're going to go by what they see on film. And you know that saying, the big eye in the sky don't lie. And just talk about you taking advantage of that opportunity.
Well, I mean, just to restart that whole storyline that I went through, that journey. Starting from college, I mean, I was always the underdog. They saw that I had talent. They saw that I had skill, but I guess in their eyes, and at the University of Illinois during the time, it just wasn't enough. So I guess they guys that they wanted to pick, but they wanted me close by the side. I can remember, just like it was yesterday, Ron Turner was the head coach there during my time, my freshman year. And, you know, I think it was after our first game, they had this guy, E.B. Halsley, who was the main running back, him and Morris Virgil at the time. E.B. was a freshman, I was a freshman, and we had Marcus Mason as well, who played in the league for a few years. But E.B. was his guy. I mean, he was a good player. He was very shifty. He had athleticism. I mean, he was one of your flank guys. Like I wouldn't call him a Darren Sproles. He didn't have the speed as Darren, but his skill set, his agility was just about as good as his. But that was his guy. That was their guy, their main guy. So I didn't get a chance to play. I remember the first game that we played at University of Illinois, I didn't get a chance to play, but after that game, what they used to host, they called it, joking around, they called it the Toilet Bowl. You know, just for guys who didn't play in that game, they practice the next day. They do a live scrimmage, like a games scenario. So, you know, that after that first game of our season, my freshman year, I didn't play. Sat the sideline. I didn't dress or anything like that. And I thought I was going to be redshirted my freshman year. But like I said, leading to that Toilet Bowl game, I was basically tearing it up when I was on that field. I ran so many touchdowns back. I had one long one that was 72-yarder touchdown. And I remember this, Ron Turner was like, why is it the F he on the field? Why isn't he playing? Why isn't he dressing? And after that, the next game I played. And sure enough, that next game, I can't remember exactly who we played, but I didn't run a 76-yard touchdown back, but I got 70 yards down the field. I think it was Indiana we played as well. I think that was the game. I ran like a 76-yard run, rushing yard back close to the end zone. I think I got stopped around the 5. I don't got that breakout speed, but I am consistent. That was my gift. And just the process of going, you know, from the college to the NFL and, you know, the whole pro day, I tell a lot of people, you look, don't, especially guys who are asking these questions, like, well, what did you do to prepare? Were you ready for the draft? Did you think you was going to get drafted and all this? I just tell them, like, look, man, just go in and do the best job you can. But as long as they can see your talent on the field, and if you don't get your name called, it's not the end of the world. You still have to show them what you got. You might get a chance to – you will get a chance to go in there and show them. They will invite you to their camps. And when you get there, you do everything and anything that they ask you to do. And also, you take it a step forward and tell them, like, hey, try me at this. Look at me at this. That's all I'm asking you, is to give me a shot. If I fail, then I fail. But if I succeed, then you know what I can do. So I tell them to have that mentality when they go in into that next level. And that's what the mentality that I had, you know. I didn't get drafted or none of that. So I was just like, you know what, it's okay. I just want to show the NFL and everybody else in this world, I'm sorry to say it like this, but the pro day, the combine, that's just numbers. It doesn't show you if you can play the game. It doesn't show you if you know what to do out on that field, if you know how to read defense.
You know, it doesn't show you right. You know how to remember so many plays and know how to adjust when a play is not working that well. It doesn't show you all that. You have to have that deep inside. That's what you have to have. And that's what I want to show, you know, everybody in that level, the next level, that I had that. And there's guys like me out here. Don't pass up on us. You know what I mean? And that's why I respect Sean so much for seeing that within me. And he gave me the opportunity and I showed him like, yo, I deserve to be here. And the rest was said.
Well, you know, Pierre, the one thing, a lot of times you get anxious and you're in a game. And what I always notice is that whenever a screenplay was called, that, you know, you might look at it, well, the quarterback has to sell it, the running back has to sell it, the timing with the offensive line. And I always thought that, well, even though it looked like the screenplay wasn't going to work, you did an outstanding job to set up the blockers and you showed great patience. And in significant games, whether, you know, you look at the Colts, you look at the Vikings, or any game throughout that season, the magical season, when you won a Super Bowl, that that screenplay was a lot about you utilizing your blockers and being patient and letting them, you know, set up their blocks and then cutting off of that.
Well, yeah, definitely. That comes into communication. And we all have to be on the same page. Yes, the coaches are giving us our intel. You know, they're giving us the plays and they're showing it, but it takes us to make it actually work. So, and for the way for that to do is that we have to communicate. So I have to go to Drew to figure out, hey, Drew, what are your steps? What do you like to do? How would you like to look at it? You know, what is going on in your head? So I know how to maneuver. And then I go to my lineman, ask them the same question. Hey, which way do you like to throw your defender, or how do you like to take on your steps as you're coming back? Do you take a one step then go, or two step then go? Like, what do you do, you know, to get off on your release off that D lineman and get to the next level? So I need to know these things to move, so my job can be a lot easier for, and also set them up where they can win and they can be successful. So we all have to be successful. We all have to take that time to figure out each play and talk. That's the only way those type of plays actually work, is communicating with your teammates, with your guys.
Now, Pierre, I look at that 2011 season, and I know we won the Super Bowl after the 2009 season, but I don't think I'm far-fetched. You might say, well, Bobby, that you're wrong, but that 2011 season, we became the new greatest show on turf. We're breaking all the old St. Louis Rams records. But I think we're actually better. And I thought a big part, because we fell behind, when you initially got knocked out in that 49 game, we were inside the 20-yard line by Dante Whitner. Do you remember any of that? Or was that one of the hardest you got hit, or what?
I wouldn't say it was the hardest. It was the hardest, the one that I don't remember at that time. But it was, I mean, I guess it was a official hit. You can't take it back. I mean, a ref never called it. So, and I mean, I looked at it several times, but you are right. I think that year we should have won the Super Bowl. We would have won the Super Bowl if we got past that team, the 49ers. But me being out of the game didn't cause us to lose the game, because we were still in it, but it did kind of make us redefine what we need to do here. You know what I mean? Go in a different way. Who's gonna take on these plays now? Because how we worked, we had certain plays for certain guys, and how things, we just have to figure out how can we adjust now. And that was, I think, was kind of hard, because sometimes a lot of guys didn't do what I did and they never got that opportunity. But that's how the game is. It's like, look, you might not get the opportunity to do this, but you have to do it. So that's when you as an individual has to go practice on those plays that you never ran before in practice. You have to do it on your own time. So that's one thing that I always did. I always made sure I did other things that I never did. So when Reggie was there or Sproles was there, I made sure I did everything they did, because I wanted to do it just in case we didn't have anybody else. And I'm like, look, I can do it. You know, I told the coach, like, look, right. I can step up if the job needs to be done, so we won't miss a beat. But yeah, I do remember that time that hit. Like I said, I was basically defenseless. I barely saw Whitner. I just tried to protect myself. I saw him coming downhill. By the time I caught the ball and I turned up, I just see a figure right in front of me. And the only thing I could think to myself was just cover up, because, I mean, I'm in the middle of the field and somebody already seen me there before Drew threw the ball. And I know they're coming full steam at me, because you could ask any receiver or anybody who catches the ball like that, you have to cover up. And I mean, I caught it and I tried to lower my shoulder, but he caught me in the head too. So, and I can't blame him. It's the nature of the game.
Right.
It moves so fast. You never know when an offensive player or a defensive player is going to put their hat. You don't know that. It moves so fast. You don't know, okay, let me put my head to the right. This guy's going to put his head to the left. You don't know that. He might put it to the same side as you, and then all of a sudden, boom, you collide, and now it's a helmet-to-helmet. You're knocked out or concussed or whatever it is. I mean, that's the nature of the game. That's the type of game that we play, and it's hard to make it safe. Even though we try to, it's very hard to, because the fast pace and the hitting that's going on. And that's what the excitement is. And, I mean, that's what we play. That's why we love it. It's so exciting, and it's very aggressive. But
now, Pierre, Chris, I wanted to ask Pierre about this. Two of his teammates, like they just came out with the All-Decade team, and two guys you're very familiar with. I want you to comment on both of them. And you mentioned Darren Sproles a few times. Now, he was only on the team with 2011-13, but then here he is. He's voted to the All-Decade team in two different positions, punt returner and the flex guy, only becoming the fourth player named to any All-Decade team at multiple positions. And then I look at a guy, I want you to comment on Sproles, and then also Jahri Evans. I mean, here's Jahri Evans, talk about being reliable. I mean, during his Saints career, he missed just 7 games. And you look from 2006-16, that's pretty remarkable. Because, you know, you always say that to be held accountable, you got to be available. And Jahri was that guy, and obviously what Darren Sproles brought to the table.
Yes. I mean, I'm gonna start with Ja. I mean, Ja is an unbelievable person. His work ethic is unbelievable. He will give you everything he has. He is going to leave it all on the field. Ja is a guy who won't complain, who's going to do the job to his best ability. And I mean, even though, like, you can really say he's a big teddy bear. I mean, this dude, he's a ginormous guy, strong as ever. You if you look at him on the street, you're like, you don't got no athletic, you know, ability. And you, like, just look at you, guy. Like, he's a big dude. He doesn't look athletic, but once he's on that field, you see so much athleticism that comes out of that man. He's a heck of a player. I mean, like you said, 7 games that he only missed out of his career, that's unbelievable. That shows you his work ethic. That shows you that he's not going to, you know, complain about a couple of nicks, or even if he's sick, he's still going to go out there and do the best job he can, unless, you know, it really takes him down. But he is an unbelievable player. I mean, in my book, he's a Hall of Famer, you know, throughout the whole entire NFL, because he's a guy who is a leader on the field and off the field, and he does so much for you, you know, just as an individual. He helps out so much. He's a caring guy, and I love that dude. And that's one of my brothers. I mean, I am so glad I got a chance to share the field with and also have memories with, and I will never forget. And Sproles, I mean, there's no more. What more can you say about the guy? He is spectacular for his size. So go out here and show everybody in this world, you know, a 5'6" guy, that he belongs, that he can stand up to the mightiest guys that plays in the league. He can stand up to these guys, and he's not afraid to put his hat down, to put his shoulder down. And, I mean, good luck trying to catch him, because he's so freaking fast. I mean, I always shocked after I talk about him. We joke around. I'm like, man, look at your feet, like the way he moves. If you look at his feet, I mean, he looked like the little road runner. His feet move so fast.
But I mean, he's another great guy off the field as well. Great teammate, great friend. I mean, just a good person to be around. And I mean, just his work ethic also. I mean, I never seen a person, you know, like Drew and, you know, Ja, who works hard. I mean, he works hard and he loves to compete. There's been times he'd be like, yo, Pete, come on, let's do this together. Let's try this. Anything, I tell him, look, man, if it's anything speed-wise or running-wise, you're going to beat me hands down, bro. You're faster than me. I'm not going to put myself in that position and take an L and let you just, you know, feel free to gloat about it. No, it's not going to happen. So, but anything else, I mean, I compete with him in a weight room. When he does that, I'll join him. But he's always doing extra. He's always doing so much. I see him all the time before practice. He's already out there training and moving, getting his legs warmed up, stretching, doing so much work, and then he do more after practice. So his work ethic, all the nominations, the awards that he has, he deserves every bit of that because he put in the work.
Former Saints running back Pierre Thomas here on the Saints Hour, brought to you by Community Coffee. Pierre, just talking about Darren Sproles, I remember being on the sidelines doing the game with Jim and Hokie and Jim and Deuce, and at the time it was Jim and Hokie, and I remember defenders coming off the field, and they were saying, I could hear him saying it after trying to tackle Darren Sproles, is how much faster he looked in person compared to on tape. Like they would say that. They would say that. Like, oh, he, and they would arrive at the conclusion. I could hear him say, he's faster than what we saw on tape.
Oh, yeah. You can look at tape and like, man, he's fast. But when you in person, when that game speed comes on, I mean, it's like, whoa, did you guys see that? And some people are like, no, I missed it because he's too fast.
Pierre,
but no, go ahead.
Let me ask you one more. In 2009, Buffalo, I think it's week two. What was your temperature in that game? I know you were ill. What was your temperature? You remember that game?
Yeah, I definitely remember that game. I had food poisoning in that game.
Oh, wow.
So I was sick of the dog. Yeah, I was bad. That was as funny as your brother. Because, I mean, I'll tell you how it all started. I ate Subway. So, Subway, I'm sorry to put you guys out there like this right now on the radio. But, yeah, you guys gave me food poisoning. I'm not saying you give everybody food poisoning, but just that day, I just got food poisoning for you guys. And, so I was messed up all week. And I thought I was starting to feel better leading up towards the game until Saturday night, was feeling ill again. And Sunday morning during the game, I'm in the training room early in the morning getting pumped with IV bags and just trying to get myself together. And they went out there for warm-ups, and I got myself together. I got everything on. I got dressed, and I'm starting to come out, and they're coming back in. And Sean, you know, he's the first one coming in. As I'm walking out onto the field, he's like, are you just getting out here? I said, yeah. He just looked at me and shook his head and kept running. And, you know, during the first half, you know, I'm just doing special teams. Because I came off also before that week, I came off of a serious injury with my MCL. Or was it my ACL? I can't remember at this time. But I had a knee problem before, and then, you know, I had a big brace on as well, and they didn't know, so they didn't play me the first half. They just put me on special teams, and then Sean looked over to me in the second half when we came back out. He was like, are you ready? I was like, look, Sean, I've been ready. I've been sitting there on the sidelines. I got a bunch of IV bags pumped in me. I was just waiting for you to call my name, man. I can't really put myself in. Then, I mean, you have too many guys on the field, and you look at me like, what the heck are you doing? So,
right.
As soon as I got in that second half, I mean, I just went out there and did what I was supposed to do.
Visiting with former Saints running back Pierre Thomas. Bobby has one more for you, Pierre. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pierre, when you look at where the Saints are right now in the running game, obviously, you know Mark Ingram. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens, and we know the success that he's having there, taking advantage of opportunity. What is your take on Alvin Kamara? Because, you know, the one thing you could say that they're going to utilize him in the passing game, and I think the Saints trust him there, where he's caught at least 81 passes for the third straight season, looking at this past season. But what is your take on the Saints running game and where they're at right now, and maybe a guy like Alvin Kamara?
The times that I've seen the games, I feel like it's the run game is there, but it could be there a little bit more, if you ask
right.
me. I know Sean, he loves his passing game. He loves his passing game, but they need to be balanced. It needs to be more of a balanced scheme. I mean, I feel like they need to do a lot more. To me, I know what worked for us in 2009 was a lot of inside zone runs. I know a lot of teams around the league are starting to really love these outside zone runs. But to me, I feel like with the linemen, these are big guys, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying all of them can't, but I don't feel like a lot of them can, you know, maneuver that fast out of a stance, you know, for outside zone outside zone look. It's hard to
right.
get on certain defenders. And I feel like, you know, if they lean towards the inside zone a little bit more, they would see a lot more improvement and a lot more success in the run game. And Alvin Kamara, I think he's a versatile, you know, athlete like myself. I can do the split out, the flank. I can run between the tackles, you know what I mean? And I was one of the blockers. And I feel like Alvin Kamara is just like that, but I feel like he's way more athletic than I was. He is more on your side of your, like a crossbreed of, you know, Travaris and a little bit of Sproles and Reggie, you know, that whole mixture of
right.
He also has that strength where he can break through tackles, you know what I mean? And I just didn't have the speed. I feel like I could do the same thing, but I just didn't have the speed, or my agility was just a little bit off, you know, and not as much as he is. And I feel like he is, a very good athlete and has all those combinations. So he's a deadly weapon, and I'm very excited to see him, and I like watching him play every time, you know, he's out there, because he can do so much out on that field. And I mean, I believe he can run through between the tackles. He has a great burst. He's very fast, and he can make that one hard cut that you need, or he can make a few cuts and get, you know, something that looks like it was nothing there in a start. So, I mean, I see him as being a promising back in this league. It's just more of, you know, the Saints just got to figure out how to use him a lot more, utilize him a lot more, and also try putting two backs, you know, in an I formation where maybe one of the guys could play fullback, you know what I mean? Just like me and Reggie did during our time. You know, you never know who got the ball. Maybe it was a quick handoff to me, you know, in a fullback position, or a handoff to Reggie, you know, in the H position. So I feel like they can mix it up a little bit and use their backs and wait to so many different schemes to, you know, improve the offense and the running game.
Pierre, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
You guys,
thanks, Pierre.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.